It's another Monday Mission. Thanks for tuning in. Episode number 3. It is Malcolm and Ricky. We're here to give you guys another beautiful,
beautiful is the word.
Another beautiful. That's it. Another beautiful topic of discussion today, and we are thoroughly, thoroughly pleased with the outcome of this, and it hasn't even begun yet because we just know that you are going to get so much out of what we have to say today, and I'm actually not going to really be able to get the feedback from all you guys personally, so Ricky's taking the forefront of the podcast and the Instagram and so on and so forth. So as far as all social media stuff goes, you know, you could just reach out to Ricky.
So basically there won't be anything posted for a while. No, I'm just Malcolm's super good at the social media stuff. I mean, everything I've learned and do on social media is basically modeled off what he does.
I'm so far.
Anyway. So, yeah, you know what I mean? So it's going to be it's cool, though, because I get to adjust and get uncomfortable, and that's where good things happen. So it's awesome. Today's Monday Mission is going to talk about positivity, positivity being the new cocaine, the new high, the new drug, the new it thing, the new buzzword, and how people are basically getting high off of content, whether it's Tony Robbins, whether it's Gary Vee, whether it's any of these so-called gurus or, you know, people that we listen to too. I mean, we're not throwing shade on any of these people. But I think right now what we're seeing is a lot of people almost just swallowing this content and reading these books and not applying any of it and just getting all of the satisfaction from either reading or consuming. And basically they're getting the satisfaction of being a consumer, not actually going out and doing what these people are preaching. So that's basically the topic, kind of from my perspective. It's always cool to get another perspective. That's why Malcolm is here, so you get two perspectives on where we're at, I guess, as a culture with that. And then just before we start, Malcolm, if you kind of just want to let him in on your fast and how that's going and pretty much the behind, like, or the reason why you're not on social media and things like that, if you want to take a second. And
well, the number one thing, just to touch on what you said about, Andy Purcell said it best every time I hear people say, they call them success zombies. They're people that just pay thousands and thousands of dollars to get regurgitated information over and over and over again. And they just want to be with the in crowd. And they just hope that as long as they continue to be around the people that talk about being super successful, that they'll just get a lucky break. And really the fine line is, you just got to put in the hard work.
Yeah.
And to touch on what I'm doing, I mean, the first thing that I didn't want to do is really kind of just talk about what I'm doing. I just wanted to be very transparent, though. I'm not any better. And I remember my pastor telling us, like, well, the goal of a fast isn't to just tell everybody you're on a fast, you know, because, you know, I don't need to sit and complain and tell people, like, I'm on a fast just to preach that I'm better. But, obviously, my partner in crime wants to know a little about what's going on, so I can share with you guys and also with you as well. Really, what I found out is when I kind of connected my spirituality or my connection with God and my relationship with God in 2017, it was enough to get me to where I was up until this point. And I think that now it's a game of levels. So I put on a scale of level 1 to level 10, and level 1 being like I'm accepting of Christ being my Savior and accepting that I need to have a relationship with Him. And then moving forward onto level 2 would then like actually being into the Word, which is like reading the Bible or reading Scripture and actually meditating and praying on that. And I think that it's time to make that connection, because it's only going to go for so long just doing a thank you God for everything, I'm glad I'm alive, you know. It's I need to be much deeper. I need to start understanding a deeper purpose for myself. I need to really start to connect a little better spiritually, because I need to learn how to love people unconditionally. Was actually the daily devotional for today was talking about how God's love is unconditional, which I I struggle with, because if I don't like somebody, I just don't like them, and I am disconnected with that. And I just think that at this point in my life, it was just a good opportunity. I hadn't gone to church in a couple of weeks, and I went to church, and they brought it up, and I've always heard about prayer and fasting and so on and so forth.
So what, real quick, because I don't want to, like I said, we're not trying to...
say what you gotta say. You don't gotta fucking apologize.
No, I'm not apologizing. I'm just trying to word it correctly. Is that we're not trying to look for that sympathy or anything like that. I just want to. We are responsible. You have a following of people that keep up with what you do, and you have people that, believe it or not, you may not know, you got people that actually listen to your stories every day, and they need that. I guess them through the day, whether you know it or not. You know what I mean? So that's the only reason we're talking about it. So just real quickly before we get into the topic, just lastly, what can't you do? How long can't you do it? And that's it.
So the best way before I get into it, because you're going to be like, why would you want to do something like that? The best way I can describe it to you is if you've ever gone on a really strict diet, the mental benefits, the health benefits, and just the whole the physiological and physical adaptation that you acquire from being on a certain diet. I always refer back to when I went on paleo, that I was just super phenomenal performance-wise. I was aesthetically pleasing to look at. You know, like my body fat was, I don't know, like 8% or 7% or something along those lines. I felt better. I slept better. And that was awesome. Now, it's very similar. There are certain things I can't eat. Can't eat meat, can't eat dairy, can't eat breads, can't eat, obviously, processed foods.
Caffeine.
Can't have caffeine. And I chose to also disconnect myself with social media and television so I can continue to stay grounded, because the only thing that I know that I would have done if I couldn't do all these other things was just watch a lot of TV or watch a lot of movies or I might also just be a lot of times on Instagram instead of actually, when I get bored, instead of going to Instagram, go to my Bible. And so that is, for me, I just knew I had to do that in order to make that adjustment, because I know that I need to be disciplined enough, because I will be like, all right, well, I said I could use social media and I'll never actually pick up the Bible. So as now, when I'm so fucking bored out of my mind, you know, I literally, I'm just like, I have nothing else to do besides pick up my Bible. So it forces me to kind of get into the Word and actually understand what it is I need to do. And then the psychological and like the physical adaptation that will happen is I am going to consume so much fruits and vegetables that I'm going to be a vegetable by the time we have our competition, which is awesome.
All right. So yeah, just a little background on what Malcolm's doing, which I think is pretty tough. So good luck, bro. And we'll hold you to that. Moving on to today's topic, positivity, the new cocaine. What do you think of when you hear that?
This is something I heard, not this specifically, but the people talking about optimism, caring, and things of that nature, very similar to another podcast. And what comes to mind is the notion that people think that they just need to be positive in order for things to happen for them. You know, I feel that like we're in an era which everybody wants to be positive now, and but nobody wants to put in the action. Is kind of what comes to mind. It's not enough to understand positivity.
And if I can just give it an example. So by action, it's not like feed 1,000 people. It's like put your grocery cart back in the bin where all the other grocery carts are. Don't leave it in the parking lot. Or if you're driving on the road in Florida and there's a palm tree in the middle of the road, granted, if it's a road, you can stop on it, move the palm tree out of the way so no other car has to swerve like I did just now actually coming through to your neighborhood. Little things like that. Like, it doesn't have to be super major. It could be really, really simple things too, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Because it's – I mean –
because I think when people hear positive action, they think that they have to do something so grand scale and promote it and put it on their story and put it on their page and put it on their Facebook and text 5 friends about it, you know?
Yeah. No, not at all. I think that just by doing that, just taking positive action is just a great way to develop that positivity muscle, actually in a good way, because you need to put into action each and every day that force of positivity. And you have to do it in the way that you speak, in the way that you live, in the way that you treat each other. And from my experience, I am not the best person every single time when it comes to positivity. I am very optimistic, but I also know that there are real life things that do happen. So sometimes I can have a negative thought or emotion that comes up, but I don't allow myself to dwell on it. But somebody said this comment one day and said, not giving someone a compliment is like buying somebody a gift, wrapping it up, putting a bow on it, writing their name, and never giving it to them.
Ben Bergeron.
Is that who it was?
Ben Bergeron. Yeah, Chasing Excellence.
So and he made that comment, and it was like the easiest thing that you can do is give somebody a compliment, and that's a positive action right there, especially if it comes up. Not just go out and you don't necessarily give them, but just by and that kind of goes to saying. A couple episodes back, you were talking about how you went to Starbucks and all you asked the lady was, "How was your day?"
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she was completely taken back by it, because in a day and age where everybody wants to preach positivity, nobody's really doing that action and taking like, "Hey, how are you feeling today?" 99% of the time, you could even look at it like this. If you go and you ask somebody how they're doing, majority is like a robot response, and it's like, "I'm good," or "I'm fine," or, you know, "I'm good." Like, instead of actually trying to go out of your way to be like, "No, I really want to know, how are you feeling today?"
And actually, I think that's all in the way how you phrase the question, how you ask the question. A person can genuinely feel that you actually care, and you're not just going through the motions of, "Hey, how are you?" You know, because sometimes, have you ever said, "Hi, how are you?" And then the person's like, "Good, and you?" And you're like, "How are you?" You know, like those awkward exchanges where it's just like so like.
Yeah, when you repeat the same thing.
When you repeat the same thing, you're not really listening to what they just said. You're literally just like, "Hey, how are you?" And the person says, "Good, and how about you?" And you just say, "Hey, how are you?"
I'll give you a perfect example. When you go to the gym and the lady at the front desk goes, "Have a good workout," and you go, "You too," and you're like, "Fuck."
Yeah, like, she's not working out. Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Yeah,
because you're just going an automated response. And,
yeah, I think I learned to actually care for people while I was in prison, because I didn't have anybody to talk to for like so long, you know.
Yeah.
So it was out of curiosity. For like, obviously, you know, you got your cellmates and you got people that you interact with, but for the most part, you don't want to talk to anybody. So like, I think just 5 years of being disconnected with humanity, it's kind of like I'm really interested in to see how you're doing, because after being in 5 years in prison, I don't know how anybody could be having a bad day, but I realize that people are going to have bad days, and I want to know if I can make it better, you know?
Yeah.
That's just my thing. So I'm really actually curious when I ask the question, when I see the lady at Publix or whoever, you know what I mean? Or Lucky's or wherever I go. And I'm not perfect. Sometimes I fall into those auto responses too. And it's like, "Oh, wait, like my brain's just on autopilot. I don't care about how that lady's actually doing."
Yeah.
You know, so you have to be careful with that too. But I think that nowadays, man, people are just getting caught in these positivity traps, I would call them, where they have people just letting them know that if they think everything's going to be okay, everything's going to be okay. And actually, the sermon, Elevation, Steve Furnick, couldn't make it to church, so I tuned into his, was on prisons, on invisible prisons, and he was talking about expectations.
Yeah.
Right? And when you put an expectation to something and you miss the mark, it's like, oh, you know, it's like you're bummed. But if your expectation's pretty low and you kind of overseed it, you're like, "Wow, I exceeded my expectations." You know, so I think that when people expect something to go right because they're in a certain mindset, it doesn't mathematically add up in the universe. Like, you know, things are going to go wrong. At some point, shit's going to hit the fan. But as I always tell people, I've learned to embrace those moments, man, when shit hits the fan. Because I tell you, man, those are the moments when I've learned the most about myself. I've learned the most about people around me. And I've developed as a person in a much quicker way in those moments than I have when everything goes right, you know?
Yeah, man. It's one of those things where especially since the shit that I'm dealing with, and I'm on the tail end of getting off my probation. I just had a conversation with my mom, and she was just like, you know, you're going on 30, and you know, you should really start to think about these things that are like, you know, in your life that you want to feel proud about. Because I told her that I was going to refinance my car and probably sell it back because it was going to be way too expensive,
right?
As far as the insurance and the car payment goes, unless the car payment goes half the price. But as she's talking, I'm trying to listen. All right, I hear what she's saying, and obviously she's just doing what mothers do, and like just giving me advice. And I'm not really asking for advice, but
she's your mother.
There's something that goes off in my head, like that clicks, and I'm like, she has this old school mindset that because, and mind you, I'm not even close to 30. I'm 3 years away from 30, and I turned 27 this month. So it's 3 years from now for me to be 30. But talking as if almost like once you become 30, like there is a specific
thing you need to have,
you know. And like I'm not super materialistic. Like I love nice things. I love things, but I've been a caveman for so long that like it's easy for me to get rid of stuff that I purchased for because I don't. Really, I don't know. I don't hold any possessional value. Like if someone gives it to me, or if it was a gift, or it had some sort of sentimental value, would be a difference to me. But like things that I purchase, like I don't really care too much to like. I'll get rid of it or give it to somebody, or I'll buy something expensive and give it to someone else. Like that's just me as a person. I don't really hold too much value to material things. But with that being said, so I'm like explaining to her, I was like, listen, like it's not the end of the world if I don't have my car by the time I'm 30, even if it is 3 years from now, you know, and I'm trying to explain to her, and she's just like, I can tell that she has this mentality that if I don't have blank, then maybe certain things won't go right. But like I have the mentality that no matter what, as long as I continue to gain momentum and push forward and do the right thing, because doing the right thing is always the right thing, that things are going to work out. I'm not going to lay on my back and just be like, yeah, I'm positive and, you know, optimistic and, yeah, things are going to work out, me sitting on my ass. Like, you actually have to put in the work. And if I know that I'm putting in the work and I know that things are going to work out and things are not going to get handed to me or you, and that's just from my experiences, things will never get handed to me. Things have never necessarily got handed to me, but circumstances have been handed to me that have benefited me, you know, not necessarily stuff, but circumstances to continue to allow me to make a decision whether I want to go the way that I continue to go or make the decision and go the other way, you know. And then that mentality has literally got me to where I am today, and I'm going to continue to stick by it and abide by it, no matter what happens, no matter how tough the tough gets, you know, because you start to cultivate relationships and connections with people that you need to have when times get tough to keep you on the right track, you know, so you aren't in that dark place for too long, and that way you have an escape, you know. I think it's super important.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two schools of thoughts on this. The first school of thought is like, don't worry, live in the now, everything's going to be okay. You know, do the right thing, live in the now, everything's going to be okay, right? And then there's the other school of thought of save, save, save for 20 years, and then everything will be okay later, right? And do the right thing. So they both have the same thing in common as far as do the right thing, right? One school of thought is living in the now exclusively. One school of thought is living in the future exclusively. When we drift too far into either extreme, we can get in trouble. I think that you have to have a balance. You have to live in the now. And sometimes I find myself more so on that side of the extreme than the other. Because, like I've always said, regret is my biggest fear. So I always kind of, what is that when you justify, you know, my actions by, well, I wanted it, and I could die tomorrow, type thing.
Yeah.
But I've had to learn that you know things have to also get planned out, and you have to develop habits that are going to be long term, and it's not just about you. Especially for me, I want to have generations carry my name, things like that. So, but again, it could be you could get lost. in the whole delayed gratification. We had a whole episode on this, but you could get lost in the fact of just looking first forward, 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 forward. And you're building up this expectation, whether it's in 3 years, I'll be financially free. In 5 years, you're giving yourself a timetable. And if something goes wrong, aka life happens, and you don't meet that expectation, you're going to be fucking bummed, dude. You know? And it's just, it's a tough thing to live in the middle of those two extremes. But I think that if we do that cohesively, we can live a pretty good life. Because I don't know of anybody who wants to save money for 20 years so that when they're 60, they can do things. Because chances are they're probably going to be limited on the things that they can do at that age, you know? If they're not taking care of their body, if they're just exclusively working and saving, right? If they're not paying attention to their health, this and that. Whereas the same can happen to the person who's just living in the moment, if they're just exclusively living in the moment. So I think that you have to have a balance. To me, ideally, I tend to lean more towards your way of thinking, where I'm not materialistic. I've lived, you know, 5 years on ramen noodle soups, and I survived. And I know that I can do that. So at the same time, I know I can eat shit for a couple years so that I can progress in the later term. But my whole thing is, I think the long-term vision seekers put a price tag or a timetable on happiness. And that can be very, very dangerous. When you put a timetable or a price tag on happiness, you're delaying your happiness today. And that's very scary. And I just think that you have to make a conscious effort to be happy every single day of your life, no matter what the situation is. That's why I tend to lean to the more, to the left side of that spectrum just a little bit more. Because to me, dude, like, our ancestors lived without a whole lot of shit, dude. Cars, people used to walk around everywhere, and there were still people who made a difference. People in our history textbooks right now that loved what they did, made a difference in the world. That's all life is about to me right now in my mindset where I'm at today. It's about helping others. You know, if along the way I get to do some cool shit, who wouldn't want to do some cool shit? Who wouldn't want to have awesome, cool things? But if I'm not helping others along the way, it's pointless to me. So it's just finding a balance, not getting too high, not getting too low, staying even keel, you know, throughout this journey that we call life, man. Because we're still in the caterpillar stage, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I'm 24, you're 20, about to be 27. Like, we're about a quarter of the way through, you know? So we're now, it's like, people just have these expectations of where you should be at what age. Don't put a timetable or a price tag on your happiness, ever. You know?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, to majority of the points, I agree with not putting an expectation on time. I disagree with. I think that, I mean, and then again, I guess it depends on who you speak to. Me as a person, I mean, I'll just use myself as an example. I went to work out with Mike, one of the weightlifting coaches, and he was like, you know, you just gotta make sure that you can move the feet. And I was like, can you fucking curse me out or something? Like, fucking, you give me all the same cues that you're telling your fucking weightlifters, like, you know, call me a bitch, tell me I fucking suck, like, whatever the case is, so I can, you know, I work well under pressure. And he did. And when he did, I was able to do whatever the fuck he was trying to explain to me. But when it comes to setting a timeline, I think for some people, you're right in some regards. I feel that if they put like, hey, I'm going to have blank in 3 years, and they don't get it in 3 years, and they fucking fall short, and they go, God, my life is awful, blah, 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 and they fucking cave, and then they don't continue forward. Or you get someone, you get through the 3 years, and they look at an entire itinerary and fucking see everything that they've been doing and everything that they purchased and everything that they – and they're like, you know what? My goal was to get it in 3 years, but by the looks of it, as long as I continue this, realistically, this is where I can go blank. Because obviously when you first start something, it's really hard to like understand where you're at. You know,
yeah.
It's you get a better understanding when you start it. But then it's true. I believe that there are two drastic things that can happen. You know, you can either use that as fuel, or you can use that and you can go down backwards. You know, you can go down the negative Nancy train. You know, I didn't get in 3 years. My life is over. Blah blah. Like, and I think sometimes my brother, you know, he does. He has that mentality already subconsciously that he's like, you know, if I don't make it in, you know, 2019, like blah blah, I'm gonna stop writing. If I don't make it in 2020, I'm like, bro, like, just make it when you make it. Keep making music until you fucking make it. You know what I mean? Like, there are certain things, like, your timeline for that is, like, you enjoy it. Keep doing it. There shouldn't be a time frame. You know, if you want to make it happen, like, you will make it happen. Now, if you want to make a timeline where, like, I'm going to put out 3 albums and 4 mixtapes by the time of 2020, and you don't, you know, like, you got to, you know, be realistic. Like, and I think – and not even realistic in, like – you know, you can't get signed, but be realistic in, like, if you don't make it this year, that doesn't mean give up. You know, if you don't make it next year, doesn't mean give up. You don't make it in 20 years, doesn't mean give up. Like, even if you may be the first person, for, let's just say, for example, if you could be the first rapper that makes it by the time he's 66, does it matter?
Yeah.
You know, does it matter what time, like, was it what age you got it? Like, you finally made it when you were 66?
Right, unless you attach your feeling of accomplishment towards a time frame.
Yeah.
You can't be bummed.
Yeah, and I just think that, like, as long as you, like, even if you are, like, there are people now, since social media has, the internet has become so powerful that, like,
it's literally
yesterday... I was on Twitch. I don't know if that counts as social media, but whatever. I was on Twitch. It's
I just snitched on yourself.
Yeah, Twitch TV. because I went on it for a split second because there's a competition that was coming up, and it was I happened to look at it, and because I'm also following it. But anyway, so on the competition, what I'm looking, I go down and there's a Magic. I don't know if you know what Magic is.
The card game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, I used to literally make fun of all the kids that played Magic because I play Yu-Gi-Oh, obviously, and Yu-Gi-Oh is better than Magic.
Duh.
So I watched it for a split second, and these kids are playing. Now they're no longer playing with actual decks. They're playing on the internet, whatever.
Yeah.
And the fucking payout for first place winner, $250,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this was... When I used to play, this was, I want to say 10, maybe 12 years ago. 12 years ago, nobody was like, yo, just keep doing it and you'll be able, you know, you didn't think 12 years later you could make a quarter.
Whoever loved to do it, yeah, just kept doing it.
Now you could make $250,000 playing a fucking card game. I mean, you could make more in poker, but whatever. But I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's something we played every Saturday. Went to the library to have, like, you know, and you don't have to spend a lot of money to do that. Just be doing it and spend all this time. So that's just kind of, like, to my point, you know, it's just – there shouldn't be, like, as long as you continue to enjoy what you're doing, especially now, you can literally make something. Even if you was only, if you made $40,000 a year doing what you're doing, maybe what you're doing isn't going to give you a bunch of money. But if a bunch of money is what you want instead of what you enjoy, then obviously, you know, they're you're kind of, like, stuck in the middle there.
I'll put it to you like this, man. When you listen to either this podcast or a Gary Vee, or you watch these inspirational videos on YouTube, or you read a book, there is a chemical that gets released into your brain. It's the same chemical that actually makes you high when you take drugs. It makes you happy. It fills you up because you see other human beings that are basic, not basic, but just like you. You can relate to them. You understand where they're coming from. They have a similar story to you. And it uplifts you. It gets you high in a sense, right? And you start, you know, just listening and listening and listening to where that becomes your addiction. And I think now we're in a time when serial entrepreneurs, and I love entrepreneurship, and listen, I'm a capitalist, and I listen, if you have an idea, you got a consumer, you sell that motherfucker, right? But there are people out there, man, that are taking advantage of the chemicals that are being naturally released in your brain when you listen to positive shit, and they're fucking tricking your asses and giving you a timetable for when you're going to be rich, giving you a timetable for when you're going to be free, giving you a timetable for when you're going to have the Ferrari, for when you're going to have this, when you're going to have that, and it's all fucking bullshit, bro. You know that no fucking chemicals get released in your brain fucking 10 years in a row when you're eating shit. The chemical gets released in your brain year 11 when you finally fucking break even and you're like, shit, dude, this was worth the 10 fucking years of suffering, the 10 years of eating shit, the 10 years of dragging ass, 10 years of making $400 every 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you stuck to your guns, man. And that's all entrepreneurship, that's all living your best life is about, man. It's doing, finding something that you really love to do. Hopefully it helps others, because that's where true happiness lies, in my opinion. And just going away at it. But don't get sucked into these fucking positivity vortexes that these fucking evil ass people are selling you on and making millions of dollars off, because they know that you're going to subscribe to the fucking $30 a month, or not even, dude, $10 a month for me to sit here and feed you bullshit and tell you that in 3 years it's going to happen. And then 3 years pass, and then we need one more year. And then after that 1 year pass, they already have 50 other people, so it doesn't matter if you don't subscribe again. You know what I'm saying? And nowadays, man, it's very, very common. And you may be listening to this thinking, man, Ricky, I'll never get sucked into some trap like that. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. Right? It was the same way when your ass was 6 years old and you said you were never going to smoke weed. You know what I'm saying? And then you tried it one time, and then you tried it again, and then whatever. You know what I mean? It may not have been that for you. Whatever it may be for you, you know, that's how things happen, man. It's slowly, it's gradual. You know, but I think the message that these people are putting out is not negative. But I think we need to follow the messages they're putting out with actions, not with likes and subscriptions. You know?
Sure. Imagine basically what I wanted to say was, imagine purchasing a new and expensive vehicle and it requires a special type of gasoline. You get the opportunity to sit in your car, you take pictures in your car, you even look at your car each and every day that it sits in your parking lot. But without actually fueling the car with the necessary gas, it becomes useless. It does no justice to anybody else, and nobody else gets to enjoy the luxury or the beauty of your vehicle. And that's very similar to your being. You are a vehicle, all right? And if you do not make sure that you are able to fuel it with the necessary things and also portray those things on daily life, you see, it's almost pointless to live a life full of positivity without spreading love and actually doing it for the right reasons. Preaching positivity and living an unfulfilling life does not go hand in hand. So how you react to these situations and how you present yourself in those situations will truly determine where your heart lies. And myself, I firmly believe that no matter what happens, especially when the tough situations arise, it's a perfect testament to what you truly believe and even live in your everyday life. That's all for me, guys, today.
Well said, man. When shit hits the fan, you're going to find out who you really are. I found out who I really was very quickly when that gavel hit the wood and I was sentenced to 5 years. I found out pretty quickly who I was. And luckily, I am now thankful for that situation and happy that I came out of it a better person. But again, the goal of this podcast is that you, and our hope for you, is that you don't have to go through things like that, and that you can still live a nice, fulfilling life. So I don't give a shit if you don't listen to us again. I don't care if you don't subscribe. I don't really care if you follow us on Instagram. My real goal for you is, if you listen to this podcast, is that you go out there today and take advantage of whatever it is that you want to do and start applying action to your daily life. And using that positivity in a form of action every day, whether it's just saying hi to the person, putting your groceries in the bag, or whether it's putting your grocery cart away, or whether it's cleaning a dirty ass bathroom that has nothing to do, whatever, even if it's the littlest thing, or it could be big too. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, every day, apply a little bit of action to the content that you are listening to, the things that you are consuming. I'm not saying not to do that anymore, but let's apply the principles that we're listening to as well.